step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 778. I am your hostess with the mostest, Lisa Sheps. I am joined by superstar guest co-host, Ms. Kelsey Nate Mazak.
Hi, so happy to be here.
You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. Every Wednesday, we stream this live at koop.org. You better stay right where you are. We'll be back.
Step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Yeah. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
We can rise beyond what's gone.
It is Wednesday, June 26th, 2024. On the show today, we have Latino Comedy Project and their show, A Star Wars. And then later on, we'll be talking to Andrea Ariel of Andrea Ariel Dance Theater and their show, Borderless. And of course, we're going to have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, New York and Chicago. Don't go away.
Slow time.
New York and Chicago. So nice they named them both twice. That was your cue to say something.
Oh, I didn't know that. I was not set up for that one.
Kelsey Mazak, welcome to Offstage and On the Air. You've never co-hosted with us before.
No, I've never co-hosted, correct.
Right, but you've been on the show a zillion times.
I wouldn't say a zillion.
Because you know why?
Why?
Because you're a star.
Oh, my God.
You're a superstar.
Yeah, that makes me feel awkward, but thank you.
Well, our guest, Adrian Viejas, has just broke the microphone. since I engineer my own show and everything is right here, we're going to show how the sausage is made. Adrian, just set that down right there and then go grab that microphone over there.
Okay,
we'll fix that later, and we're going to introduce him later, so just pretend that just didn't happen. So Kelsey, tell people who you are if they don't know.
Yeah. My name is Kelsey Mazak. I am an actor in the Austin area. I grew up here, unicorn status.
In the studio?
I grew up in the studio.
Wow, that's amazing.
No. I grew up in Austin. And then I went to school in Dallas, and then I...
SMU?
SMU, yes.
Okay, I've heard of that place.
Yes. SMU's acting program, and then lived in LA for a year, hated it, came back.
I didn't know you lived in LA.
Yeah.
What did you hate about it? I mean, not that there's any reason to like LA.
Right. I don't think I liked being an actor in LA. I had just, graduated, and I was all like, Shakespeare and art is what matters the most. And everyone there is like, do you want to be famous? And I was like, no, but for the art. And, then there's just models who are actors. It just made me sad.
Yeah. Well, we're happy to have you here. You're actually currently in a show that we featured on this show and that I got to see called A Million More to Go.
Yeah.
And you do such a lovely job in it.
Oh, thank you. It's really fun. I'm working with some of my closest friends, and it's been a really lovely experience.
You are. Of the five cast members, four of them were really close to me as well. There was only one person I didn't know.
Yeah. It's a tight little knit thing that Will created.
Cool. Will is Will Douglas, who directed it for Jarrett Productions. And you're in your last weekend.
I am. Last weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Do you know how to tell people where to go to find more information?
I do. If you go to Jarrett Productions, it's either .com or something else. It's .com. you can find ticket information there.
Awesome. It's a really great and fun show. Those 90 minutes fly by. So let's introduce the folks that are here. We've already learned that Adrian Viejas is here. Hi, Adrian.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm obviously filled with rage because I broke your microphone.
You've destroyed the studio, but it's okay. I know how to fix it. and we have Erica Santana. Hi, Erica.
Hey, how you doing? I'm so happy to be here again.
Any better and I'd be twins. I'm glad to have you here.
Yeah.
all right, well, let's jump in to talk about things that we're going to talk about. The Jimmy Awards were last weekend. Do y'all know what the Jimmy Awards are?
Enlighten me.
Adrian, shaking your head does not work on the radio.
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Okay, good. Thank you. The Jimmy Awards are the same thing as, or the national version of what we have here called the Heller Awards, or what used to be called GATSMATA, the Greater Austin High School Musical Theater Awards, and it's High School Musical Theater Awards. Cool. It's named for Jimmy Niederlander, and it's a big, big deal. Lots of people have won the Jimmy Awards and gone on to great Broadway careers, like the only one that I can remember off the top of my head is Eva Noblezada, who's on Broadway now, I believe.
Renee Rapp also. She didn't win, but she was like finalist.
Yep.
You said this is national scale.
It is indeed.
High School Awards.
Mm-hmm. High School Awards.
Wow.
And the winners this year, so there's always, and this is available on the interweb on YouTube, that you can see the whole show. And it's really, really very lovely. And there's a... and I know I'm just stream of consciousness, but there's a lovely documentary about it, and I don't remember which streaming service, and I don't know the name of it, but you can figure it out if you use the Google. But it really shows everything, and it really shows how what a wonderful program it is. And these 60 high schools from around the country, two winners come from each of these high schools. And they perform as a unit. Then they still gender their awards. They're best actor or best actress. They do a wonderful medley of the shows that they were in that they get to perform in. And then when they announce the final award is the best actor and the best actress. And the thing that just makes me tear up every time I see it is just the level of camaraderie. So when the award winner is announced, I mean, usually like in most award ceremonies, there's that little moment where the people that didn't win, you can just see that moment where there's like, oh, rats. There's that disappointment before they go, oh, the camera's on me. I'm going to show.
Yeah.
This is exactly the opposite. All of those kids just rally behind the winner, and it's like, it is visceral and it's immediate and it's just amazing. I just love it.
That'll all change.
Give them time.
Way to be negative. This,
you know, I wish
give
I did,
a few weeks.
Totally wish I didn't agree with you, but I do.
Let's enjoy it. Yeah, for now. Yeah. Please.
Last year, for the very first time, the Heller Awards were part of the national movement, and now the Heller Awards are part of that. So we send our best two performers to New York every year. Last year, God, I wish I remembered their names. Do you know their names?
The guy was Langston something.
Right, and he won. Right, he won. So first time we send someone to New York, they win. So
that's awesome.
That's amazing. This year, we sent Jamias Hughes, who was SpongeBob in SpongeBob. He goes to Lockhart High School. And Ava Moak, who played Mrs. Lovett in Sweeney Todd, from Round Rock High School.
No, Leander.
Yeah, so you work at Leander High School.
Yeah, I'm a school psychologist. Yeah. And Leander also. I dabble in lots of
things. What? If I had thought about it, Kelsey, I'm so sorry. I have all the nominees. I could have gone to see if there was... Oh, never mind. Never mind. I just forgot what I was going to say something. So
I also work at a middle school, so I wouldn't know them.
Oh, no, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
Anyway, the winners this year were Gretchen Shope, from East Lansing, Michigan, and Damison Choa Jr. from Dallas, Texas. And they were in... am I telling the truth? I may be telling the truth. You know what? I said that... I don't know.
There's
what
no
I'm
such thing
about.
As a...
I don't know what I'm talking about. I now just realize that my notes are all for cock.
This is all a dream. they aren't real awards.
Yeah, and I forgot what I was going to say. So I forgot what she.
You're just reciting a Glee rerun episode.
Yeah, I did. So anyway, you can see all of the National High School Musical Award winners at our website, Ground Floor Theater. Nope, wrong. Offstageonair.com. Oy vey's mirror. Anyway, the ceremony was hosted by Josh Groban, and I know if
that's cool.
If Nicole were here, she would like be all crazy because she loves the Grobes.
Hey, Todd.
Yep. So that was that. I forgot to mention the song that I played at the very beginning was the song is called The Key Is, from a show called Alice by Heart. Has anybody heard of it?
Mm-hmm. I haven't.
It's an Alice in Wonderland. Like it was.
It's an Alice in Wonderland thing set in the around World War II.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
It didn't do terribly well, but it didn't do terribly badly either. But it is. And of course, I didn't. I have to find the Wikipedia page. It is Duncan Sheik, I believe, wrote the music.
Yeah, Molly Gordon was in it, right?
Molly Gordon was in it, and that's who we heard singing. She played Alice. That's good. You knew that.
I know random tidbits here.
That's
and
a good
there.
Tidbit.
Yeah.
What else do you know about that show?
That I just told you. That's all I know.
Anyway, that was the show that... oh, my gosh... that the winner did, Gretchen Schaap.
Oh, nice.
Yep. Okay. So I just realized what I did wrong. I was going to play the songs from the winners, but what I did was I played the songs from the winner to open the show, but the song we're going out with is actually the song from Sweeney Todd our entry was in. I got very, very confused.
That's okay.
Oh, my gosh. While we're talking about awards, let's just talk about the Del Hughes Awards because, you know, my background is stage management. And the Del Hughes Awards are given by the Stage Managers Association, of which I was one of the very first members of back in the 70s. But they award stage managers every year. And this year they went to Lloyd Davis Jr., Ed DeShay, and Denise Yancey. Anybody know any of those?
I don't. Region, like...
They're all over the
place.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
I
then,
need to get out there more.
Yeah, I don't know any of them either.
Oh, okay. That makes me feel better.
But you know, it's funny. I went over to the Stage Managers Association website and I looked at all the past winners and I was... I think most people know that I did theater back in the 70s, but I switched and I did what we call industrial theater or theaters for business. And if you're interested in learning about this industry that not anybody knows about, Netflix has a documentary called Bathtubs Over Broadway, where it's got all these Broadway people that do these shows for industry. And it's a wonderful documentary that says about the industry I work in. But two really big stage managers from that business, John Fennessy and David Peel, were honored with Del Hughes Awards. And these were men that I worked with many, many years with. As a matter of fact,
wow.
I had dinner with David Peel's wife just a week and a half ago.
You are so close.
There you go. I know.
Why don't we talk about your award? You got...
We don't talk about that.
That's a
Reader's Poll Award. Yes, I was honored to be named Best Director in Austin by the Chronicle Reader.
Yes, congratulations. How many times has that happened?
I don't want to answer that, but please. It's five times.
It's almost like you're good or something.
Well, how do you feel about that? You got to really
frankly, no, I don't
that.
Take I don't take compliments very well. I'm very appreciative and I'm very grateful for
that's from the people. That's not the critics.
That is from the people.
People
I
the
think
people
that
show up.
That must feel good.
It does feel good, and I'm really appreciative. And I have fun directing, and I know that in this room, Kelsey has worked with me as a director.
Yeah, so fun. I'm not just saying that.
I like to have a good time doing it, so I hope I am doing that. I must say that everybody that was also up for that award deserved it equally, if in my opinion, not more so than me. But thank you very much.
You're welcome. I wanted to make sure we mentioned that award.
It was good. Well, let's get off of awards. And before we get into the next subject, let me just say this. The opinions that are expressed here on Offstage and on the Air are not necessarily those of co-op, its staff, board of directors, or volunteers.
Oh, God. Okay.
It's merely my crazy, crazy lefty opinion. So here's what happened in Florida.
Oh, no. Oh, I already know.
Do you know what this is about?
Yeah, I just read that article yesterday.
Oh, my God. So, you know, Florida has this governor named DeSantis, and he... So, the state funds the arts. And so, in their budget, he vetoed all of the arts funding for Florida. 100% of it. $32 million. He just signed it off and said nope and gave no reason.
Well, that money needs to pay for private Christian schools.
It does. And guns.
Yes.
And banning books and keeping gender-affirming care away from young people. So he gave no explanation for doing it. He just did it. And this is a time when arts organizations are in real trouble. There are cuts happening all over the place. I mean, I don't know of anything that I've heard to this extent.
It's very drastic, but he likes to do that, right? It's all about the drama.
Well, and you know, his sister state is Texas.
And yes.
They would do that here if they could.
Yeah,
they 100%. Would absolutely do that here if they could. I think it's a shame, and to not see the value of arts funding and arts education, just it's a soapbox I stand on so often. It is truly seeing the forest, not seeing the forest for the
trees. You know, it was interesting during the pandemic when everybody was locked down. I saw this point made several times that even a lot of the people who disparage people in the arts, like, what is getting you through this?
Right. You're watching
your music, TV shows, your movies. It's people in the arts. That's what's sustaining you.
Yep.
But it's so easy to disregard the value of it. But that was the most stark reminder right there. It literally was a lifeline for a lot of people, because a lot of people couldn't go anywhere, do anything.
Yeah. It's a lifeline for like 100% of the people, really. I mean, yeah. You were sitting in your chair watching television. And that's actually where a lot of times we were able to see a lot of streaming things on Broadway that we didn't see before.
Right.
Yeah, it was cool.
That came in. So we got to see a lot of arts organizations. And that is, you see that the creative class is what drives people and business to these places. Like, Austin is a great example of that. The city of Austin touts its creative class to get businesses to come in here. And then we're not all that good at funding ourselves.
Nope.
No.
So that's...
And it also touts diversity while it's pushing diversity out.
Correct.
And it also touts a lively arts community and music community while it makes it unaffordable for those people to even stay in the city limits.
So, right.
Yeah.
And one of the things that...
And this is a liberal town.
And this is on the liberal side of town.
Well, I'm saying that in quotes. I'm saying
Is there are other cities. I mean, like, because I went to school in Dallas, and I have a lot of friends who now own theater companies and run theater companies in Dallas, and they get so much more money than we do.
Well, I had a conversation actually with the director out of Dallas, a friend of mine, and was telling him sometimes the struggles that happen here, even dealing with the kind of mindsets that exist here, even in the community. And he said that in Dallas, things are treated really like professional.
Correct.
Even among the artists, it's like they approach things more professionally. And that's probably a reflection of the fact that they take care of their artistic community better.
And they can pay their artists better.
Not to get off topic, but when you mentioned, you know, how unaffordable it is to live here, I actually read an article the other day about folks that are leaving Austin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it's just so expensive.
It is very expensive here, and that's one of the things that's happening. So our arts organizations here in Austin are suffering from all the expenses are going up, rent is going up, production costs are going up, and philanthropy is going down. And, you know, I don't know how, and I'm hopefully we have a lot of people, you know, hopefully there's some tech bros listening to us right now. You know, there is a lot of money in this town, lots of people coming in, all those people that the city is attracting, all these tech organizations, their philanthropy does not tend to go towards the arts. And I would like to change their mind about that.
I have a whole theory about this, that there's some like the companies like lighting and all those like that make like there's a one that creates different sort of fixtures for buildings and such. Like, if we could get those and like get them to fund a thing and like be marketing for them, basically, like, look at these awesome lights.
Yep. Yeah.
You could get these lights, but also look, art.
That's right.
But
so. Don't get me started. So that's that. So there's a lot of stuff to do. So, you know, I would just I would ask everybody out there listening to my voice, just support the arts, support artists, support what's doing. We are one of the few industries in the world where it's perfectly okay for us to work for not a living wage.
Yeah.
Yep. And for arts organizations to not, you know, that to not be funded to have to starve for our class, because it's so romantic to starve for your art.
It's really not.
I know. I know. Yeah. And I know my listeners are tired of hearing me say that. So let's change our subjects to a little bit more fun idea or thing that who likes the musical Cats? Memories.
I haven't seen it.
Well, actually, I haven't either. So I tried to watch the you know, they have a video of the, they videotaped the actually original production. I couldn't sit through it. It was, I was in New York for almost all of its run, and I never went.
Wow.
Anyway, so there is a new show called Cats the Jellicle Ball. It's at the Perlman Performing Arts Center, which is the new Cube Theater down in the World Trade Center area. Just opened up. And it's getting amazing reviews.
They've seen that. And I was like, really?
They have taken Cats and they've taken the whole... It's no longer Cats. It's the ballroom drag culture. And they've put it into the world of, nice. Of drag culture. And it's called the Jellicle Ball. The directors are, I know I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Zalion Levingston and Bill Rausch.
You mispronounced Bill.
I did. I should have said Czech Rausch. Anybody get that? Okay. Yeah. So they've gone from the metaphysical junkyard to a hotel ballroom. And there are whole new versions of the songs. So everybody has said great things about it. Here's a picture of one of the cats for those.
Ooh, fabulous.
And cool. Those that aren't here with me,
oh my gosh, yes.
can see this article in the New York Times by going to Offstage.
That's a very clever idea, too. That's a natural kind of organic mashup.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I'm going to read the final paragraph of Jesse Green's review in the New York Times. He says, I should say at this point, no, I haven't turned into a fan of the show itself. The one you can see at your community theater or license for your high school. I don't believe musicals should need whisker consultants. But as it happens occasionally, the right idea can transform the wrong material. If Cats the Jellicle Ball has managed a Grisabella turn, reincarnating itself in fabulousness, do not expect an 18-year run, or, pardon me, copycat production. It's a lightning strike. Not now and forever, but for now and once. So it plays through July 28th. So if you want to see it, get on an airplane.
Now.
Right now.
Cats.
All right, we're running out of time. Let's see what I want to do. Real quick, like Annie, which has been on tour for quite a while, this does not happen. So it's been a non-equity tour out on the road. It's going equity.
Oh, good for
you. Yeah, So that's good. So it's going union. It's keeping the non-equity tour finished. They're recasting with equity actors. They don't mention whether they're offering.
Yeah, I was about to
original,
say. Oh no,
the
this
cast
is about
that
to be
had.
Problematic.
Well, yeah, I don't know. So they're keeping the creative team though, for what it's worth.
I hope they offered it to the other actors.
I
first.
Hope they did as well.
That's always a trip when shows stick around that long in some form or another.
Yeah.
That's been going on forever.
I've never seen Annie.
You've never seen
I've
Annie?
I've never seen a production of Annie.
They so did looking, it at Zilker a few years ago. It was very hot.
I can't bring myself to go to Zilker
so
for that very reason.
That's what I gathered from it, is Texas is hot. Yes.
All right, we're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back and talk to Latino Comedy Project. And because our entry into the Jimmy Awards was Mrs. Lovett, we're going to play a little Priest. And here it is.
It's Priest. Have a little priest.
And we are back. Isn't you are really listening good. To Offstage and on the Air with Lisa and Kelsey. What a great conversation we had, right?
Lisa and Kelsey. It sounds like a 90s sitcom or something.
It is. It's a 2024 sitcom. Yeah. Let's do it. So
that's very, very precise.
Yep. Well, here we go. Let's introduce our guests for the reason why they're here. Adrian Viejas, who is the founder and artistic director of Latino Comedy Project. And I'm assuming you're directing this show as well.
Yep, directing it one more time. Yeah.
Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, we're talking about a Star Wars.
Yeah, hold on. I haven't introduced her yet.
Oh. She's going to talk about it too.
I know. You're both
finish my sentence for me.
And also here, one of the performers from A Star Wars is Erica Santana.
Hello, everybody. Yes, we're here to talk about A Star Wars.
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias, mi gente.
There's the DJ. There's the DJ right there.
Or as your character good. Would say, dias buenos.
Dias buenos, mi gente.
So, what is this show, Star Wars?
Well,
am I pronouncing it right? How does one pronounce it?
Well,
Star Wars.
Well,
Star.
G, the G. You're oh, the G.
You do add the G.
It's pronounced the way that a person whose first language is Spanish would say Star Wars.
Okay. Okay. A Star Wars.
A Star Wars.
A Star, a Star Wars. Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's a comedy satire, meta comedy that's basically asked the question, what would Star Wars had looked like if George Lucas had been Jorge Lucas?
Uh-huh.
That's the whole premise. And what would, you know, and it examines like the political reality that we're living in. And it also takes apart the fandom of Star Wars over the history of that. It also inverts a lot of the tropes in those movies. And it's a fun show. It's a fun show. And we did it originally at Ground Floor Theater.
Ground Floor Theater.
Yeah.
When was that? Was that 2018?
2019.
2019.
Yeah.
And how has it changed since then?
It's gotten better.
I don't
cut
see
right
it.
To the chase.
I don't see how that's possible.
Oh no, well, I could.
But I mean, did you change the script?
Yeah, we've updated some things, and
yeah, I noticed there was one thing that. Oh no, it was there in 19. There's a MAGA reference, and what I saw.
Oh, that's a huge subtext in the show.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. But I in my fantasy mind, we did not have Donald Trump in 2019. But of course, we did.
Well, I mean, that's one of the jokes in the show is that we're the Resistencia is up against the evil empire, which is trying to impose the MAGA on everyone. Which is in this show, it's Make a Galaxy Great Again.
Okay,
so yeah. And it plays around with that a lot.
Wonderful. What I remember from it at Ground Floor Theater was just how much fun everybody had. And it was a large cast. Large cast,
yeah,
again?
It's a big cast. Yeah, it's about 16 people.
16 oh, wow. people. That's big.
Yeah, it's a lot. And that's one thing about the show that's changed, too, the fluidity of that, because that's something that I had to get used to the first time we did it. I hadn't had a cast.
Yeah, you were a little crazy that week.
I was miserable.
That is a lot of people to manage.
Yeah, it was a lot. It still is, but you know, you also try to cast you know, people that are up to the challenge too. Mm-hmm. So, and that's definitely the case this time, which includes Erica.
Yeah, and Erica, you are playing, who are you playing?
I am playing Yola. So this is a first for me in many ways. It's my first time working with a puppet, so I'm excited about that. And also, it's the first in a while, I'm talking about several years, of doing something other than all Spanish theater.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
So I'm excited about that. You know, I'm from Laredo, Texas originally. So when I read the script, it was right up my alley. I love the Tex-Mex flair that it has. And also just the characters. Instead of Yoda, you have Yola, you know, the wise old grandmother. Instead of Han Solo, you have Han Cholo. And those are just things that I grew up with. So it's really exciting to see that come to life and to be a part of it.
And were you / are you a Star Wars fan?
Yes.
Oh,
I
hey,
actually am.
No hesitation.
When I,
wow.
Yes, when I met Adrian, I was like, you know, I'm actually a big Star Wars fan. yeah, I grew up with Star Wars. My mom, you know, was a huge fan, then passed that on to me. And yeah, I love Star Wars.
Well, that's the thing. Like, this, I was the first generation of Star Wars fans, right? I was one of those kids that was just that 6 years old when the first movie came out. So it's been a huge part of my life, all my life. And when I had this idea to do something that was political, but also about the fandom and also about the actual history of the and a comedy parody on top of that, I remember my partner in the Latino Comedy Project, Nick Walker, said, "You're the only person who could write this show because you're a comedy geek, you're a politics geek, you're Latino, and you're a Star Wars nerd." And that's what came out of it. I mean, the show works on many levels. I mean, even like she was talking about, Yola is a perfect example of the way the show approaches the Star Wars universe, because, you know, the joke is, what would be the wise, all-powerful small being in Latino community that would be the equivalent of Yoda, and it would be our abuelas.
Yes.
So it's Yola, and she does the performance. Erica does a performance with a puppet on stage, and also, you know, visible on stage, just like to pay homage to the original movies. And people have really we're bringing it back because people, every time we brought it back, people have loved it.
And of course, you have lightsabers. Don't you have lightsabers?
Well, yes. And in this case, they're light velas. So the little candle holders are the handles for the lightsabers. Yeah.
So what's the political statement you're making here with this show?
Well, it's about the last, you know, 5-6 years that we've been living in, like the gaslighting and then the dehumanization. I mean, that's a subtext of the show. And yep, there's actually some very emotional moments in the show surrounded by all the jokes. And ultimately, the message is one of not giving up on what's good in the world and not giving up on fighting for that and for each other. So it actually has the same message that the original Star Wars movies had, yeah, too, that people took away from that.
It's a message of hope.
Message of hope, for sure. Yeah.
Which is so hard to feel right now, especially.
Well, that was the yeah, intention of this show, which is that I said I wanted people to walk out of the show, not just having laughed a lot, but I wanted them to walk out with the same feeling of uplift and joy that I remember feeling as a kid, yeah, after the end of the first movie. Yeah. And it's engineered that way. And it is achieved that every time. And you know, people want to buy Star Wars shirts. They want to buy Yola t-shirts. You know, they want to take a piece of the experience with them. And they bring people back to the show. That's the other thing that's been interesting. They'll sometimes come back during the same run.
So you're only doing 3 performances. Is that
correct? Four shows over 4 one shows. Weekend. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're going to go, you need to catch it. Also, this will be the last time we produce this show.
Yeah. Really? So okay.
I got some sequels in mind that I want to
move on to. So folks want to see this. This would be a really good opportunity to do that.
Yes. And okay, you can find out more about it at www.estarguarscomedyfest, and that's Estarguars yeah, Comedy Fest.
Or you can also go to latinocomedyproject.com.
Yeah.
You can also just Google it. There's yeah, so many ways you can do it. And atxtheater.org is also a really good resource. So I know you have Yola, and you just mentioned the Han Solo. Who's Leia? What are the... Give us some of the other characters.
We have La Princesa, which is Leia.
Mm-hmm. Organa Cortez.
Yeah. We have, instead of R2-D2, R2-Me2.
Okay.
Who's a appropriate gender relations enforcement droid.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Hilarious.
We have Han Solo, of course, has his partner, Chewie. Mm-hmm. C-H-U-Y.
Okay.
I play Theo Juan Kenobi.
Yes.
Oh, you're in it this time.
Yeah. And what are the other characters?
Instead of stormtroopers, we have ice troopers.
Oh, Imperial yeah, clone enforcement. Ice.
Oh, my gosh.
And instead of the Death Star, they're trying to destroy the galactic wall.
Instead of Darth Vader, we have Darth Vendido.
Which means sellout. That means a sellout, yeah, which he's a cultural sellout in the show.
Amazing. So is the show all in English, or are we doing a little bit of mix of Spanish?
English and Spanish and a little, I mean, English and Spanglish and a little yeah, Spanish.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But it's very understandable for the general audience.
It's very easy to follow, definitely.
You'll get all the jokes.
I will tell folks.
You may not laugh, but you'll get them all.
I will tell folks, Adrian did a wonderful trailer, which you can find on latinocomedyproject.com, which you really get a good sense of the show when you watch that trailer, and it's a lot of fun. Did you produce that trailer yourself?
Yeah. Me and Nick Walker produced that and had some help with some of the graphics, like the space chancla effects and things mm-hmm, like that. Yeah, we had
and
it was a team effort.
And the lightsaber worked really well.
Yeah, yeah. It looks very convincing.
I mean, it does. Yeah. And it has the sound, too. Whatever. I can't
Well, we
it.
Do that in rehearsals. We make all of our own sound effects. We have to remind ourselves to stop doing that.
If you want
to
watch some great lightsaber action choreo, come and watch this show.
Yeah, there's a full-out duel in it. Yeah.
Well, wonderful. So when does this puppy open?
July 5th through 7th, so next okay, Friday of next week.
Next Friday through 7th, and you are at...
Scottish Rite Theater.
Scottish Rite, that's always fun.
Yeah, it's great.
Are they enjoying having you as guests in their home?
I think so, yeah. I think so. They haven't complained to us yet.
Well, they probably will.
Well, they'll call the cops. They'll call the cops on us on opening night.
No, I'm sure they will. And you already told them, but once again, tell people where they can get more information.
It's Star Wars, StarWarsComedyFest.com. We'll take you to the show page for all the information. LatinoComedyProject.com. Yeah.
So yeah. Also, atxtheater.org is always a good resource for all things theater in Austin. Well, thank you all so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having us.
I really appreciate it.
It's good to see you.
It's always a good time with you.
Well, I try my best. That was Adrian Viejas and Erica Santana of Latino Comedy Project's Star Wars. From July 5th through 7th. For more information, latinocomedyproject.com. And this is a song called Science Fiction Movies from Con the Musical. We'll be right back.
Back in the day, we took our first leap.
And we are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Kelsey, which is the 1990 sitcom version
where
of Offstage
and On the Air.
Where we're
roommates and we're just figuring life out.
And we're just having a good time.
And
craziness ensues. Well, we'll talk about some local stuff going on real quick-like. I just want to talk about Hyde Park Theater has had radio plays that they played during the pandemic that they did online versions.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
And Tashi Senior, who was a local playwright here, is now she's in New York. They had produced one, but they never released it.
What?
I know. So it has been released, and I just heard it. And it is called Between Starshine and Clay, written by Tashi Senior, directed by Simone Raquel Alexander. And it's Hyde Park Radio Plays. I think if you just search on whatever you get your podcast for Hyde Park Radio Plays, you can get it.
Yeah, I remember listening to it on the podcast app.
Yeah. So, but this just popped up in my feed a few days ago. So it's good. I had been talking to Simone and heard that they had not released it, and I'm glad they finally decided to. This weekend at Ground Floor Theater is Vibe, A Night at the Tonys. Vibe Entertainment is a group of, they actually came out of, oh my God, did I just forget the name of the company? I forgot it. Singers, singing group here in Austin. And they've spun off from them. They do dancing and singing. And they have these big nights, and they do it at Ground Floor Theater. And it is this weekend, Friday, and two shows on Saturday. You can get information at groundfloortheater.org, or you can Google Vibe Entertainment Group. Tonight, I know that Kelsey and I are both going to see Mom and Pop.
At
Trinity. It's a Jarrett Productions one-time reading of a play by Carl Gonzalez, directed by Lacey Cannon Gonzalez, and a cast of all-stars. My HEB, which had a very, very successful run, is got two encore performances on July 4th and 5th at Hyde Park Theater. You have your last chance to see Emma at Austin Playhouse, last chance to see Maleta de Maybelle at The Vortex from Glass Half Full, and the last chance to see Kelsey Mazak starring in A Million More to Go at Trinity for Jarrett Productions. There's nobody else in that show but Kelsey.
It's a one-woman show, yeah.
It's a one-woman show. And then we also have Exit Strategy for Beyond August Productions playing through July 14th. We have Ephemera at Hyde Park, which is playing July 27th through 29th. It is... And I want to go see this. It is, do you know who the neo-futurists are out of New York?
No.
They do 60 plays in 60 minutes. They're known for this, and this is the same kind of deal. And it's called Ephemera. That's all I know about it at this point. Zach has a Lehman trilogy playing through the 7th of July. And Young Shakespeare is doing Richard III through June 30th. Anything else happening? Of course, A Star Wars just had, and we will be talking to later, Andrea Ariel's Borderless, which happens the 28th and the 29th, and they are our next guests. And they're sitting right here in front of me. We're not even introducing them yet. It's so much fun. They feel like they can't talk. Indeed, they can't. I hold all the power. Anyway, let's go to Today in Theater History, shall we?
I would love that.
Okay, me too. So playing right now, as we, you know, we talk about, I get my stuff from playbill.com and their Playbill vault. And they, instead of it history, they always say the things that are happening right now as well, which I don't understand. Huh. Anyway, a show I'm very excited about, Oh Mary. Have you heard about Oh Mary?
No.
It's about Mary Todd Lincoln.
Oh.
But the playwright did no research.
So it's like their interpretation of what...
Yeah, it's supposed to be pretty funny. So it's now playing. Some of our birthdays is Ariana Grande. It's her birthday. Sean Hayes' birthday. Steve Burton and Kevin Adams. That's it. Nobody? No, okay.
Glinda.
Yeah. Yay, Glinda. opened in 2023 is Just For Us, which I can't remember.
I don't know.
That's Alex Edelman. Yes. Alex Edelman is a comedian. He's gotten a lot of stuff. He had a Broadway thing last year, 1 year ago, as a matter of fact. And in 2021, Springsteen on Broadway opened.
I do not even remember that happening.
Yeah. It was a pretty big deal at the time. Arsenic and Old Lace revival in 1986. Death of a Salesman in 1975. This was the George C. Scott version.
Ooh.
And Cirque Dreams Jungle Fantasy opened in 2008. That's it.
Jungle Fantasy. I didn't know that there was a Jungle Fantasy version.
Are you a Cirque
I've
fan?
I've never seen it. I'm so scared that I would witness somebody fall to their untimely death.
Have either of you seen it?
Jungle?
Any Cirque.
I've seen Cirque.
Cirque.
There, yep. It's,
which it, one did you see?
I saw Love. That one was... sensual.
Yeah, I just have too much anxiety. I feel like each time they like fly into the air, I'd be like, and there they go. No.
That what gets me, and I'm a flexible person, but it's the like contorting that I'm always just like,
I do not like contortionists.
I don't like it either.
They creep me out.
It just scares my vertebrae. Yeah.
The thing about Cirque is back in the day, I'm an early adopter to Cirque, and I saw them back when they performed in the tents, and then they would have... permanent shows in big theaters.
You an OG.
I'm an OG Cirque thing. But it was like, I felt sorry for people that didn't get to see the tent first, that they went to see one of their performances in Orlando or Vegas, mm-hmm. and then go to the tent, because in the tent, after you see the big ones in Vegas and stuff, you go, oh, okay. But when you see what they do in a tent before you've ever seen them, it's amazing what they did in a tent. Anyway, so let's take a little break. We're going to hear... oops, that's the wrong thing that we're going to hear. We're going to hear a little Bruce Springsteen, Born to Run from Springsteen on Broadway, and then we'll come back with our guests. Oh, except I didn't push the right button. Let's try this again.
When do you let me in? I want to be your friend. I want to guard your dreams.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and on the Air with Kelsey and Lisa. Lisa and Kelsey, the team.
Yeah.
The new dream team.
The dream team.
The NDT, as we call it.
Yes, that is exactly what the we call dream it. Team. Yep.
So let's introduce our guests from Andrea Ariel Dance Theater. We have Andrea Ariel.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having us on.
You're looking at me strangely. What did I do wrong?
Nothing.
Okay.
I'm just doing the eye contact.
She was making sure
thing.
That you said her name correctly.
I know, and that's what that made me think maybe I didn't.
I would know. It was perfect.
Okay,
Lisa.
Perfect is good. Cicely Fully Love, how are
Hello.
You? It's so good to see you. I should tell you, since I engineer my own show, I have to give you instructions right here on the air. You need to be right up here on the microphone.
Right up on the mic. You got it.
Andrea, tell us about this show, Borderless. It looks amazing. Boundaries.
Borderless is, yeah, it's...
Borderless.
Gosh. Yes.
Can't read.
I'm really excited about this show. It started out with an inquiry about... I really imagined trying to make a show that brought together... many different artists that I know working in the community. And Borderless started out with the question of how do we connect as humans across ethnicities and cultures? And the four artists that I invited to be artistic partners have their own ensembles and work in Austin. And they each bring a really different I don't know how to say, not style necessarily,
vibe.
But vibe. A different vibe, right. So, Anuranda Nampali, Bharatanam.
Former guest at Offstage and On the Air.
Yeah, she's an amazing Bharatanam dancer. And her daughter will be. They've made a really beautiful piece. And then we have Cicely Foley Love, who's here with me.
Yeah.
Who made a piece with Kelsey Oliver.
Oliver.
Yeah. Oh, we love Kelsey.
Yes.
And then
we love you too.
Oh, thank you. I fully love everyone.
I got it right away.
Well, that was funny. At rehearsal the other day, Perna said, "Is her last name really Foley Love? How did you get a name like that?"
Just got so it from great. My mama's.
Got right? lucky.
Right? And then we have something from Sunny Shen. His company, Yun Movement Effect, is his company. And then Luis Ordaz Gutierrez, who I would say Latinx dance theater. Yeah. Cabaret.
Dance theater is absolutely a great.
Yep.
Right. Well, he's with Proyecto Teatro.
Yes, thank you.
Proyecto Teatro.
Yes, and we love Luis. Yeah. That's amazing. What a great lineup.
I know, incredible. Then we have five musicians that most of them I have worked with over the years, and some are new that I've just started working with. Frederico Seven. I recently did a concert with him and his band, Frederico Seven y Los Prime.
He's so much better than Frederico Six.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't talk about five.
No, yeah. No. Like, ixnay on the I they.
But I recently worked with him and invited him to be part of this. And Claude Nine, otherwise known as Claude McCann. And then we have Bruno Vinzoff, who's playing percussion, and Ray Arteaga, Sunny Sun. Mm-hmm. He plays like...
he's a percussionist.
He's an amazing percussionist. Quite a range of material. And I brought them all together to create music. So this is a very different... It's not like we're using songs that they already know or made.
So this is all original music.
Yes.
All original music.
They put together, and it's all live.
And yes. It's all live.
That's amazing. That's
so
wonderful.
There's 13 people in the show.
Yes.
It's amazing.
It's great. Cicely, tell us about your piece and your work and what you're doing.
Okay, so my piece is in what brings us together for me has always been like the dance floor and just those moments growing up when there's something about like coming together on the dance floor with a stranger and having like such a sweet, wonderful, like pure joy moment, no matter who it is. And there's something grateful about maybe never even seeing that person again, but being like, oh my God, I just danced with the best person ever, you know? And like we respected each other and we shared space and we shared joy and then we left it and that was good. And so that's pretty much like the spirit of my piece and how rhythm brings us together. And, the band has been amazing. I just came in with like rhythms and vibes and they just like slapped it down immediately. They just started throwing things out there and speaking rhythms I'd never heard about, like just talking about all these different Afro-Cuban rhythms and like Latin rhythms and things and then mixing that with the sort of disco funk kind of sensibility.
Oh my God, it's very high energy.
Yeah, it's very high
energy. And it's going to be hard for the audience to stay in their chairs in that piece.
Yeah.
Because it makes you want to get up and join them.
And how many performers are there? Is it just
eight.
The four?
It's four choreographers, uh-huh. And then each of us is choreographed a duet.
Okay.
Yes.
So, that's amazing. So, so you're not actually dancing.
I am dancing.
You
actually.
Are dancing.
All of the choreographers are performing in our own pieces as well. Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
And then we, as part of the collaboration, I've been rehearsing with the four artistic partners and we've created, the threads that connect the pieces. So like there's an opening piece, that I choreographed with them. All the choreography I did with them was very collaborative. Mm-hmm. I really brought ideas and structures and then we together really shaped it, right? And through that process found so many connections. Mm-hmm. It's amazing the connections that we've discovered.
Yeah.
So there's the opening piece that starts the whole show. Then that threads into a news piece. And then there's a transition we choreographed in the middle called Stranger Stories. And that was developed out of, we did this thing where we shared stories of a time that you had an encounter with a stranger that was a magical or meaningful moment. And so we made these movement things out of them. And then we go into Cicely's piece.
Yeah.
And then Cicely's piece kind of carries over to the next transition, which I call heartbeat. And it's about rhythm, mm-hmm. but it's also about cooking together.
Oh,
Not literally, but like with
no,
the movement.
Which is that's doing cooking together is choreography as well.
Yes,
yes,
and it's can be very intimate,
very mm-hmm. much. And then we go into Sunny's piece, which explores a viewpoint of a Chinese woman, and I don't know, sort of facing the struggle between tradition and modern times, mm-hmm. and commitments to family, and it's just a stunning, beautiful yeah. piece. It really just takes me away every time.
Yeah, that piece is like, there are so many, like a photographer's dream. It's like there's so many moments where you just want to click and like hold yeah. a moment. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. It's just filled with beautiful emotion. And then we go from Sunny's piece to making bread. Yes. So I continued the idea of cooking together. And
you're making me hungry. Stop it.
I know, same.
But that leads into Luisa's piece, which it's really interesting, the choreography that I created for that transition. They saw it as borders, mm-hmm. like the border, like with the fence uh-huh, at mm-hmm. the border. Mm-hmm. And so the piece starts out with his partner, Irving, comes in with a crate of all these things that connect yeah, ancestry to...
Yeah, they're ancestral, they're cultural, they're like sort of talisman identifier pieces that I feel like the character uses to represent themselves in mm-hmm. the dance. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's about a journey, you know, and wow. Talk
it
about...
It is athletic.
It is really, really, really athletic and really amazing.
And theater. Like, I mean, Proyecto Teatro, if y'all have seen it at the Vortex or anywhere, like it's otherworldly, and he definitely brings that aspect of his like theater cabaret work into sure. this dance piece.
And the whole thing is about connections.
Yes.
Yep.
That's amazing. Unfortunately, we are like totally out of time.
Oh my gosh, okay. That went so fast.
I know. Where are you doing this?
We are doing this at the Draylin Mason Music Studio at KMFA.
That's a beautiful
classical
new space.
Yes, if you haven't been there, boy, I say come check it out. It's mm-hmm. beautiful
and
space.
You can get tickets at aadtborderless.eventbrite.com.
Okay, or you could, I will suggest, just go to aerialdance.org.
Yep.
You can find yourself right there, or again, atxtheater.org. I think you're on there. Yeah, that's wonderful. And when do you play?
We are on Friday and Saturday night at 8 o'clock.
8 p.m.
Wonderful.
And we're going to have a reception after. There's a complimentary bar. So
wonderful.
It'll be a very beautiful evening of connecting with the audience. Yeah. So please come and be with us.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. Okay, so that was Andrea Ariel and Cicely Fullylove of Andrea Ariel Dances Theaters Borderless, the 28th and 29th at KFMA Classical's Drayden Music Studio. For more information, you may visit arieldance.org, and we'll go out with Tight Connection to My Heart from Girl from the North Country. We'll be right back. We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air, Kelsey and Lisa's wonderful playhouse, we like to call it. So, Kelsey, thank you.
Yeah,
what a great time I had with you here. You'll have to come back and do it again.
I would love to.
Great. And best of luck on your closing performance at the show. It really
thank
was truly
you.
A lot of fun.
Oh, thank you.
And Kelsey is the star, but not the only star. It's an all-star, no-star show.
Oh, no. It's an ensemble
piece.
It's
an ensemble piece. So that's good. So come back and see us.
Yeah, I'll be
here. Next here on KOOP is What's New with Tracy Schultz. Tracy, you have anything happening that you want to tell the folks about?
Yes, it's going to be great. Trust me.
Oh, that's a good. That's a no
I'm
better
intrigued.
Reason than
yeah.
to stay tuned and listen. So, What's New with Tracy Schultz is next. We're gonna go away with the new Broadway show Illinois, and oh, you know what we never talked about. Was my trip to Chicago on TCG conference. We'll do that next week. But in honor of that, we were going to play Chicago, which is where I was. So this is Chicago from the Broadway musical Illinois. We'll see you next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air.
I fell in love again. All things go, all things go. Drove to Chicago. All things know. We sold our clothes to the state. I don't mind, I don't mind.